You don't feel the security wherever you're at, evidently. And you just, it's like you're searching for something. Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 6. I love this. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they might be filled. For they shall be filled. I'm telling you, church, if you are hungry and if you are thirsty for a moving of God in your life, you won't leave this place tonight without your thirst being quenched, your hunger being full. Amen. I enjoy eating Chinese food. And every time, Brother Adams, I leave Hunan's, take me home and put me on the couch, because I am stuffed to the grill. Amen. I love some Chinese food, but it's not very long. But care that I'm starting to get hungry again. Something about Chinese food, it just don't settle just right. The scripture says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Joel chapter 2 and verse number 28. And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids. In those days will I pour out my spirit. That's a prophecy. Aren't you thankful for prophecy? Amen. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. Rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. You're not sitting, some of you are standing, but God wants to fill this whole house tonight with that mighty rushing wind, with that Holy Ghost that He prophesied that happened on the day of Pentecost, that's going to happen here in this place tonight. Hallelujah. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon some of them. It set upon the ones that thought they were righteous, the ones that had sin in their life. The Bible says that it sat upon each of them. And they were some filled with the Holy Ghost. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men of every nation under heaven. Now when this silence was abroad. I'm sorry? Oh, when it was noised. So it's something you do out loud, right? Amen. Now when this noised abroad, the multitude came together. So people were interested. They were coming together and were confounded because that every man heard them speak in their own language. In other words, you got something happening here that the Spirit of God is moving here, and people are standing outside going on about their life, and they stop and they hear something. Wait a minute, somebody's speaking in my language. Somebody's talking about the goodness of the Lord. Amen. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all those that speak Galileans? In other words, aren't they hicks from the sticks? They should know our language. They shouldn't understand it. And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? It goes on to say that Peter stood up and said, hey, these men are not drunk. Because the ones that were interested came and they said, well, wait a minute, these people are drunk. But he said, they're not drunk as ye suppose, seeing that it is the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaids I will pour out my spirit in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. In other words, what I'm reading here tonight is he's going to pour out his spirit upon whomsoever will. If you got hunger inside of you, if you got thirstiness inside of you for a moving of God, for the Spirit of God, He's going to fill you. Amen? If you believe that He's going to fill you, He's going to fill you tonight. Amen. I told you I was going to let you sit down, but I'm not going to because you'll get lazy. Amen. On the day of Pentecost, Jesus invited 500 people to come, but only 120 showed up. There's only a certain amount of people that are going to show up for the big party. This is not something that you can contain in a building. The Holy Ghost, we can't contain this, Brother Lee, inside this sanctuary. It's going to be noise abroad. People on the streets are going to say, what is that noise? I used to work with the man over here at Red Dot that worked real late every night. And on Sundays, he would get off work about 8 or 9 o'clock. And he would be walking across his car to the parking lot. One day he asked me, he said, what do y'all do over there at that church? And I said, we have church. And he said, well, the church that I go to isn't like that. And I said, well, that's because we're Pentecostal. We're not ashamed of the gospel and the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We get loud when we praise God. Amen. We let everybody hear it. There's always going to be those that come and they criticize. Again, spiritual hitchhikers, they don't want to come and be a part of the service. They just want to come and sit and criticize people. Amen. They asked Peter, they said, hey, these people are drunk. And he said, but they're full of that new wine. That new wine. Amen. This is something that Jack Daniels can't do for you. This is something that a Coors Light can't do for you. This is something that some kind of meth can't do for you. Some kind of drug, some kind of prescription drug. Hallelujah. This can't be found in some kind of hospital with a needle going into your IV.
That's right.
Hallelujah. This is something that this world don't know anything about. They think that they got medicines for everything. They think that they got the answer for everything. Notice that the people that were there on the day of Pentecost, they were there for about 10 days preparing. They were getting ready, praying and waiting and waiting. What would happen if we said, okay, we need everybody to stick around here 10 days for a moving of God? 500 people were invited to the party. Only 120 showed up. So that shows me and tells me right there that somebody had something more important they had to go take care of, and they weren't ready for the moving of God. If we said, okay, Brother Bowman, 10 days, I need you to stick around here and pray and fast until God moves. Could we do it? Could we forsake our jobs? Could we forsake our lives? Well, Brother Bacon, but you don't understand my place in my community. What's more important, the moving of God or your job? Now, I'm not saying go out and quit your job. All right, don't get me wrong. Because we all got to be able to live. God gave us common sense to be able to work with stuff. But when He's moving, we got to move with Him, church. And y'all know normally we're out here about 7:30, 7:45, no later than 8 o'clock on Sunday nights. Sunday mornings are starting to get a little longer, but we're making up for it. Amen. How about if we just take that clock off the wall and don't worry about the time? And let's just have church. Just let God move on our behalf. Amen. Anything that you do, you must prepare for it. So if we're going to be preparing for battle, which is what we're going to do when we leave this place tonight, spiritual warfare is happening. We got to prepare for battle, Sister Kayla, Sister Lo. We got to prepare for battle tonight. Amen. Amen. We got to prepare for what the enemy has for us. As soon as you walk out that door, he's going to meet you there. You know, he's even Brother Brian McCoy was here a couple of weeks ago, and he said, he preached a message, when the devil comes to church. And unfortunately, right now, he's talking to somebody. And he's saying, man, don't listen to him. He don't know what he's talking about. You got this. You got this. Don't worry about it. Does he do that? You don't need to listen to that preacher. He don't know what he's talking about. The Bible says that he is a liar and the father of lies. 2 Chronicles 5 and verse number 13. It came even to pass as the trumpeters and the singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice and the trumpets and the cymbals and the instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever," that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. Amen. Is it possible that when we're up for preaching, the presence of God could be so strong in here that I couldn't continue? Hallelujah. The moving of the Lord. Hallelujah. That cloud of glory hastened over us. Isaiah 6 and verse number 1 through 4. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the serpents, each one had six wings, with twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the post of the doors moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with the smoke. I'm telling you, church, when the glory of the Lord sits upon us, that cloud and that glory, because there's a fire burning. Anytime you got fire, you got smoke. Amen? Amen. What happens when there's a fire? It attracts people. People say, "Man, what's going on over there?" We see a fire truck go by, we're like, "I wonder where they're going." Trying to look down the street. You see smoke coming up out of in the distance. You automatically think, "Man, I wonder what's going on over there." Can we get that fire burning inside here? And the glory of the Lord is so strong in this place where his cloud sits upon us. And people are wondering, "Man, what's going on over at that church? I want to be a member of that church. I want to start coming to that church because they got something." The sad thing is they could have it too. Every church in Athens could have this. This is that. It's the title of my message tonight. This is that. Talking about the Holy Ghost, church. We got something that everybody wants. Amen? And if they preached it in their church, they'd have it in their church too. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is not a Baptist thing. This is not a Methodist thing. This is not a Seventh-day Adventist thing. This is not a Pentecostal thing. I could go on forever. The Bible says that he will pour out his spirit upon some flesh. All flesh. It don't matter if you're poor, if you're rich, if you stink, if you smell good, if you had a bath last night, if you had a bath last week. It doesn't matter. He's going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. But the number one thing that you got to be is you got to be hungry and you got to thirst after righteousness. The Bible says that you will be filled. Hallelujah. God doesn't just come to change us, but he comes to transform us. The Bible says by the renewing of our minds. Again, if you got somebody who has a made-up mind, it's hard to push them or to change them. And that's what God's wanting to do. He's wanting to transform our thinking into following after him. I'm not saying that we didn't do a good job in the past. Matter of fact, I'm not even looking at the past. The past is in the past, and we're thinking about right now and what's going to happen. Amen. If we're going to see another visitation of Pentecost and the Pentecostal power, the church has got to get back up into the upper room. We got to move back into that mentality of, you know what? God can move anytime. On Wednesday night teaching, God can move. Sunday morning worship, he can move. Amen. Did he move this morning? Hallelujah. But one thing that we got to do is we got to go up. We got to elevate ourselves. What's the scripture say? Draw nigh unto me, and I will draw nigh unto you. In other words, Brother Thomas, Brother Lee, we got to take the first step. He's there to help us, to wait on us. But we got to take the first step. Draw nigh unto me, and I will draw nigh unto you. Hallelujah. We got to shake ourselves loose from the gravity pool of this world. Is it strong? Is this world's pool strong on us tonight? Amen. We got to shake ourselves loose from all the worry and all the anxiety and all the fear that's going on in this world. Hallelujah. We've got to get the doors closed, and we have to get back to the old paths. When we go home, we got to find somewhere that we can have a prayer closet. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand tonight to see who has a prayer closet and who don't have a prayer closet. Amen. You may actually have a prayer closet, but you may have your couch where you just kneel down and pray. But every single one of us should have a place in our house that we pray. Thank you to some of you. Every one of us should have a place that we pray at home. Again, don't look at the church to help you with every situation of your salvation. We're going to do our part, but you got a part to do too. Amen. Just like moms and dads sending their kids off to school saying, here, school system, take care of my kids. Raise them for me. Now, you got a responsibility. You had the kids. Amen. You got a responsibility. You want to be saved, right? I want to be saved. We got a responsibility not only to come to church, but we have to have a prayer life, and we have to have things that are going on at home. We got to get in the Word. Amen. Reach over and grab the arm of your partner. If you want to put your hand on their shoulder, whatever you want to do. But we're waiting for God to come down to us when we got to elevate ourselves up to Him. He can reach us no matter where we're at in our lives. But if you really want God to do something in your life, the Bible says, draw nigh unto me, and I will draw nigh unto you. We got to seek His face, church. God is wanting to pour out His Spirit and the Holy Ghost upon each and every one of us here tonight. Hallelujah. I believe that God can do it. How about you? Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's start praying. Hallelujah. With your partner tonight, in the name of Jesus. Reach out and touch my partner, Lord God, right now, Jesus. You see what they're going through in their life, Lord God. This is that, Lord God, that was spoken by the prophet Joel in the last days, that you would pour out your Spirit upon all flesh, God. We need a moving of the Pentecost, Lord God, experience again. Hallelujah, where the rushing mighty wind comes into this place, Lord God. I ask you right now, Jesus, that rushing mighty wind would flow through this place. Oh, hallelujah. That's it, church. We're on the right path. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And there appeared unto them glowing tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. Yes, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Right now, God, touch my neighbor. Touch my family, God. Touch my life, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's it. Don't stop yet. Don't stop yet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We ain't broke through yet. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, church, let's elevate ourselves up to where He wants us to be at. You draw nigh unto me, I'll draw nigh unto you. Hallelujah. The Bible says that it's like fire that shut up in my bones. That Holy Ghost experience that He has for us. Hallelujah. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus.